How to do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, the 24th of September. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me back.
Glad to have you here. And today, your sparring partner happens to be Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad you're both here. And Brian, you mentioned something this morning that turned out to be kind of an interesting conversation about a new coalition. I mean, it's right in the name. So a new coalition of entities that wish for the App Store to be fair.
Yeah, Andrew wrote this up for us. It is the group is called the Coalition for App Fairness, and it is it looks like it's essentially a lobbying group comprised of, let's see here, it's not that many companies. Shall we list them?
Let's.
Or should I highlight? Basecamp, don't know them. Anybody know them?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. They make all sorts of like platforms upon which you can do your work.
Blix.
Basecamp.
37 yep. Signals, I think, is who they like was their old school name, and yeah.
Okay,
Basecamp's awesome.
Blockchain.com, which is an online wallet and exchange. I think they do an exchange these days too. One of the earliest Bitcoin related companies. Epic Games, the makers of Fortnite, Deezer. I don't know Deezer.
Deezer is an online music streaming service.
It's another streamer.
The European Publishers Council, self-explanatory. Match Group, how about that one?
I got nothing.
That one's not familiar to me.
News Media Europe, that one seems self-explanatory. Prepare, and that's P-A-I-R. Don't know what they are.
No, actually, it's P-E-A-R. It still doesn't help me tell you who they are, but that is the correct spelling of their name. So
P-E-A-R?
P-E-A-R, like the fruit. Connected cooking app is what it is.
Okay.
I'll shoot a note to Andrew on that one. There's Proton Mail. They do encrypted email services. Mm-hmm. Sky Demon.
Not familiar to me.
Spotify, of course, have been in the news lately. They're a popular streaming service. And Tile, they make the things that you do the things with.
Yes.
Yeah, the trackers. We love Tile.
Physical object trackers. Yeah. In fact, I got mine from Dave. Full disclosure, I own a Tile. I got it from Dave.
Oh, same. I have many of them. I had an extra. I gave it to Kelly.
Yeah.
They basically don't want to pay Apple's fees, and they don't like Apple's rules, and they don't want Apple mucking about with their customer relationships. In other words, many of the things that have actually gone into allowing these companies to grow their businesses because people trust Apple. But, you know, hey, that's just nitpicking. Let's see. We've got here's a quote that Andrew included from Ben Volok, the founder of Blix, who said, Apple has consistently pursued a centralization and monopolization of its services, resulting in paralyzing control over app developers' businesses that exclude, restrain, and block them from Apple's platforms. Today, app developers are dependent on Apple's power over app distribution to operate on the essential platforms it has created and controls as the ultimate gatekeeper. It's time for Apple to act fairly towards the ecosystem, which has made it what it is today, and that makes me super tense because it's that ecosystem that has made many of these companies what they are today.
Well, also it's Apple's ecosystem. It's not like you have to willingly enter Apple's ecosystem if you buy a Samsung phone. I mean, you know, but
yep.
If you have Apple Music and you buy an Android phone, you can also have your Apple Music there. I would be curious if you can buy a year of Apple Music through the Android app. I don't know this. I don't have an Android device to try it on, but I would be curious if you could, because that would all go through Google's App Store, presumably, and Google would get some cut of whatever payment you were making through the App Store. And I wonder
that
if Apple...
That sounds like a tangential mess.
Well, I wonder if Apple is paying... I wonder if Apple's playing by the same rules in the Google Play Store that they want everybody to play by in their own. But I also know that's not the only app store on Android, or at least last I checked, you could put other things on your device. If you had an Android device, it didn't have to come from the Google Play Store.
It's easier to sideload with Android than it is with Apple. Yeah. But
yes.
But I don't think that's the coalition's issue, right?
It's not.
Yeah, but it is it's an interesting question to ask. But it wouldn't surprise me if Apple has a different deal, you know, a sweetheart deal with Google, as we know some vendors have had with Apple, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, but you know, so there's so many sides to this. The first is, I mean, I think your classification of this as a lobbying group is an excellent one, Brian, because that it's clear that that's who their target is. They're not bringing this to Apple. They are bringing this to, to someone else, yeah, right?
The public regulators and lawmakers.
The public. Yeah, exactly. Right. And so but Apple earlier this year sort of acknowledged that there might be a problem, and I'm putting that softly, right? At WWDC, they announced some changes to their App Store review process, specifically that, you know, they had a new review process to, you know, foster better relationships with developers and all that stuff, where you can more formally and easily contest a violation, right? If Apple says you're in violation of rule number, you know, X.3.4, you can say, okay, well, here's why I'm not. But in addition to that, and I'll quote Apple, developers will not only be able to appeal decisions about whether an app violates a given guideline of the App Store review guidelines, but will also have a mechanism to challenge the guideline itself. So essentially, run afoul of one of our rules, and now you have the right to challenge that rule mm-hmm. in its entirety. Now, I presume in that case, Apple is judge, jury, and executioner. But if we believe sure. Apple that they want to have good relationships with developers, maybe they'll listen. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, but it seems like we haven't seen anyone yelling about this in the press. Right. No. We don't know. I assume, in fact, it would be crazy to assume otherwise, but I assume that someone has invoked this challenge, right? Like, I'm not the only one that read this press release from Apple.
Right.
So, and they also talked about it on stage at WWDC a little bit too. But what we haven't heard about is, I challenged this rule with Apple. Here's what they said to me. You know, I mean, here's the process. The process sucks. It's stupid, right? Like, none of that has happened. We've just seen the same as it ever was, ranting about how this is unfair and we're going to take a stand and, you know, watch me cut off my nose to spite my face because, you know, principles kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that these people are wrong in doing that, right? But that's the sort of tantruming that we're seeing. We're not seeing, look, I tried, and
right.
it's the same as it ever was from Apple too. We just haven't seen that. So
right. We've seen nothing. We haven't seen anybody say, I challenge, like, you know, my app got rejected and I said, here's why I'm not in violation. And by the way, that rule is dumb and I want to challenge that rule, and I won. We haven't seen that yet, but we also haven't seen anybody we haven't seen anybody say anything about losing in that sort of challenge either. So I think that might be why this isn't getting as much attention as we talk about it. The thing that was interesting to me was
not newsworthy, right? Like if somebody says, I was a reasonable human. I contacted them in a reasonable way. They were reasonable humans back to me and everything ended well. And I didn't have to go and, you know, light Twitter on fire to get my problem solved.
Well, there may also be an agreement that is part of the appeals process to not talk about it.
Yeah, but you would think that, I mean, Apple talked about the process for the process in this press release in June. You would think if there was something about this, either Apple would be touting how well the process worked.
Right. Look at all the rules we changed for developers because we love developers.
Because someone brought us a valid gripe. We see it from your perspective. Here, we've changed it. Apple has not done that. Nor have we seen the developers, you know, a la Epic, where it's like, we tried, it failed, Apple sucks, and we're going to, you know, throw caution to the wind, despite the fact that they said we can't tell you about this. We're going to tell you everything about this, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it would stand to reason that someone would do that second thing, or Apple would do that first thing, and right. we've seen neither. So right. that's the one part about this that sort of irks me is y'all know that Apple is at least outwardly saying they're trying.
Right.
Can somebody test that theory for us, please? You know, I do have there are many things with which I agree with them on, which I'll happily get to later. But this was the first one that was like, guys, like, are you sure?
Google Play? Google's charging 30% too, right? I mean, there's a lot of carve outs. Yeah. I know there's a lot of carve outs, probably more carve outs than the App Store has.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, because here's why I asked that, because look at the screenshot that Andrew included in his story. Mm-hmm. And the screenshot says that 30% app tax on creators and consumers, that's their issue.
Yeah.
And
they're only going after Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's up with that? Now, Dave, you know do you know what we were on Chuck's show talking about? Yesterday hasn't gone out. It hasn't been published yet.
No.
Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices that hasn't been published, of which I was not a part. No, I don't know what you talked about on it. Zoom doesn't give me the keys like that, Brian.
Well, I didn't know if you heard us talking about it.
No,
we talked about it because it was me and Kelly and John on because I and to a lesser extent, Kelly apparently made Chuck yell at his phone.
Yes.
And when he yells at his phone, he wants to end up talking about it.
Most of you. Yeah.
As he was
observations at MacObserver.com.
Exactly. And because it was on the Daily Observation show where I had argued that Apple should be has an obligation to be more fair as a giant company in markets where it's competing vis-a-vis Spotify.
By virtue of its being a giant company.
Yeah.
And yeah. There is a monopolistic aspect to this for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But the thing is that like, I don't actually have it. I think that Apple should do the right thing and not charge 30% against small companies against which it's competing. But that's not because I'm a big Spotify fan. I think that Spotify's business model is not so great. And I've always marveled at the company's ability to lose money on every customer and make it up in volume. And
you should listen to the Bob Lefsetz interview that Tom Marshall did on his Under the Scales podcast.
What's the cheat sheet?
Bob Lefsetz is a longtime music industry. He's an attorney by training, but really he's just a music industry insider, if you will. And he really, he rants a lot and he's happy to just speak his mind, you know, devil may care, which is great about Bob. But they talked a lot about how Spotify's model is actually not the problem for the industry. You know, how Ticketmaster's model is actually not the problem for the industry. And Bob's perspectives on this are worth hearing from Bob. So I'll give you a link for the episode.
We'll put that in the show notes. Before we dig too much further into this, though, I do want to take a minute now and talk to you about our sponsor as we sit here debating business models. I would like to tell you about our sponsor this week, and our sponsor this week is MacPaw Software, and they make an app called Clean My Mac X, and this is a Mac app that is all-in-one cleaning and optimization for your computer, and you know, your Mac does need a little bit of maintenance from time to time. Clean My Mac can help you do that. It will help run regular maintenance scripts to make sure that your computer's performing as it should. It's very user-friendly, so you don't have to worry about being intimidated by having to run scripts on your computer or dig into some of those log files or cache files. All you have to do is let Clean My Mac take care of it. They have a thing, the app itself This is the part I use the most, is the Smart Scan feature. And with Smart Scan, it'll just sort of give you an overview of here's some things that could happen that would help improve performance. You get to choose the ones you want to do. It doesn't take very long for it to handle any of that. It's much easier than firing up Activity Monitor and taking a guess at which of those things are things that you need to get rid of. And they're also in the process of gearing up to be 100% compatible with Big Sur. So you can find out more about the app itself, and you can download your free trial at macpaw.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO. macpaw.app/TDO. We'd like to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show today. Now, the one thing out of this that I noticed when I was looking through this, through the coalition stuff, the thing that I noticed was in that list of companies, like, okay, I can see why the music streaming services are on here. Like, since we had Spotify, Deezer made sense. You know, Epic was there for obvious reasons, but there were a couple I wasn't sure about. And one of those in particular was Tile. And I was very curious about Tile because I wondered if Tile is worried about competition yet to come, because that sort of seems like where they're at, because we keep hearing about Apple making little tracker majiggers. Sorry to be technical.
Is Tile making any money from the App Store?
Oh, yeah. Well, that I think that's where it comes from, is Tile Premium, right?
Yeah, where you can subscribe.
You're paying $30 a year to get more functionality and more, you know,
and they mail you batteries,
tracking, and things like that. But yeah, there is the Tile Premium subscription that I'm sure they're not happy paying 30 points on. So, yeah. Yeah,
that would make sense. I forgot about premium because I'm not subscribed.
So. Right. Yeah, nor am I. Yeah. But it is like that whole thing of, you know, are you leaving without your thing? I'll give you an alert. Like, those are the things that are behind the paywall, which is fine. I mean, you know, freemium is a model. Yeah. So
if I was going lots of places I would probably pay for it because it would be nice to have my stuff with me all the time.
Yeah. I would pay for it if they did it right, but thus far they haven't, but that's a different conversation. Anyway, you said something before earlier, Brian, where you talked about how one of the things certainly is this 30%, but another is the customer relationships.
Yeah.
And this is something I've always, you know, been careful to point out to anyone involved in any scenario like this, where you are putting your product in someone else's store and then that store is selling it. If you put your product on the shelf of Walmart and it is bought by someone, that someone is not your customer, they're Walmart's customer. Walmart can track them if Walmart sets things up to do that, right? With some loyalty program, or however they like to do it, right? Walmart got them into the store. Walmart, while they're there, can upsell them on other things. Walmart can profile them, again, if they so choose. And Walmart can market to them going forward. You cannot. And the same thing is true of the App Store. You know, you hear developers say, oh, you know, I have a million customers in the App Store. No, you have one. It's the App Store. The App Store has millions of customers, and some of those millions chose to buy your product. But it's not up to you when you market to them. It's not up to you if you get to market to them. You have no idea who your customers are unless you can convince them to tell you after the sale.
Yeah.
And many developers do a great job with this tell us after the sale thing, and many don't seem to focus on that at all. Even if someone buys your, you know, subscription or in-app purchase, that is still Apple's customer. You don't know who they are. You just know that someone bought or someone renewed. Right. And that's just a fact of this. And it's always sort of bothered me that Apple has that information and does not pass it through. Now, you know, part of that is in the name of privacy, and understandably so, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, I would be curious to do sort of a randomized poll of App Store customers and say, okay, you know, you in the last month you bought these five apps or you downloaded these five apps. Do you think that so-and-so, you know, should already knows who you are? My guess is that most people would say, yeah, you know, most people don't think of privacy that way. They think, well, once I buy it, of course they know who I am. Well, it's not. No, turns out, no, they don't. I could be wrong about this. Like I said, I'd be curious to see a randomized, you know, survey done about sure. people's perceptions of that.
The vast majority of people don't care, don't know.
Don't care.
No, or right. care. Yeah.
Right. I
mean, that's why we have the ads paying for everything. That's why we have our personal information paying for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. System industry that we do is the vast majority of people don't care.
Mm-hmm. Don't care. Right.
Well, and so like, you know, if you, Dave, your survey would have to have three answers. Like, you know, if you were going to ask people, do you know that, you know, the app store is the only one that has your information and the developer doesn't know any of that, it would either be yes, no, or why are you asking? You know, why does that matter? Why do I care?
Well, I mean, that gets into survey design, right? Which is a whole other science of which I have no expertise. Yeah. No, my question probably is the wrong question to ask, let alone what answers should be given to
sure.
it. But, you know, it would be, what would be interesting is if, you know, I go to the store and I buy Widgetsmith, right? Because I want to tweak my widgets. And then a week later, I get an email from David Smith, the author of Widgetsmith, saying, hey, thanks for downloading my app. I'd like to tell you about some features in there, you know, and this is the only email you'll get unless you subscribe to my newsletter. Like, would most people be surprised? And then also, would most people be upset by that email? And I think most people, to your point, Brian, would be neither surprised nor upset by that email. I
maybe,
you
know, confused.
But it cannot happen in the current system. You don't have multiple customers, you have one. And that's a good reason for the Coalition for App Fairness to exist, because if Apple decides, correctly or not, that your app should not be in their store anymore, suddenly now you've lost your access to those customers, future and current. And it, you know, and if that was the only place that you derived your income from, well, now you have a major problem. Right. And that is, I hope, at the core of what they're after here.
Yeah.
One of the things, at least.
And, you know, when we talk about this, that's the publishing issue. This is why publishers don't like Apple's, you know, 30% aside. This is the thing that publishers don't like about any of this. Condé Nast is unhappy about it because Condé Nast doesn't have a way to market to all those people who bought a year of whatever magazine from Condé Nast through the App Store. They have no idea. They know it was 100 subscriptions. They don't have the names of those 100 people, the email addresses of those 100 people, whatever. They don't have
any of that. I don't get to survey those 100 people and ask them, you know, if they bought a year's subscription, right?
Right.
I would like to survey them every quarter, but especially in that last quarter mm-hmm. of their subscription. Like, how have we been doing for you? What could we do better? Like, I want you to know I care about you, my customer.
Right.
So that you'll re-up and you won't just hit cancel when Apple warns you that you're about to re-up. Like, anyway, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So...
So there's one other area about this that I find interesting. I have, despite my belief that Apple does have some kind of do the right thing obligation to have an even playing field with smaller companies when it's competing against those smaller companies, I don't like the way Apple has kept a lot of, but not all, blockchain and Bitcoin and cryptocurrency related apps out of the App Store. I think that Apple is like a cryptocurrency prude, and I don't know why. And I wish Apple would stop being.
Well, the same is true for all the apps that, you know, let you control your vape pen over Bluetooth, right? Like there are legitimate and lock your vape pen over Bluetooth so your kids can't use it and things like that, right? There are legitimate uses for this, and Apple, you know, your label of prude, I think, is a great one. It's just like, mm-hmm. Oh, no, we don't even want to have that risk associated with us. So they're all out. No, yeah. That doesn't make any sense, guys, but okay, cool. Yeah,
it's very odd. So... we're going to have to leave it there for today, but I will tell you, you know, as Dave very smoothly inserted earlier in the show, you can give us your feedback on all of this at observations@macobserver.com. I will say, hello, Chuck. I hope you're not too shouty at your phone today because We kind of hashed out a bunch of this last night. So that's going to do it for us. I wanted to thank both of you for being here. Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, as always, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamata. I'll talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.